So I'll be talking about ever-present lambda and Big Bang nucleosynthesis. So the outline of the talk will be, I'll first introduce the lithium-7 problem and then some possible solutions, and then I'll talk about ever-present lambda as a solution to lithium problem. And then I'll discuss the results that we have and I'll conclude. So Big Bang nucleosynthesis predicts the abundance of light cosmological elements, deuterium, helium-3, helium-4, and lithium-7 produced 10 seconds to 20 minutes after the Big Bang. And lambda CDM predicts that predicts the right abundance for deuterium and helium-4, but about 3 times more lithium-7 than what is observed, as what astrophysics observes. And the possible solutions could come from nuclear physics, that is the BBN calculations that are done. There are some reactions, nuclear reactions, that are not included in the calculations, or we are using incorrect rates. But this, so far as everyone seems to believe that everything has been included, because this has been tested in the laboratory. And other possible solution could be processes, dark matter processes, that are not included in the simulations. If dark matter did introduce new processes that can alter the light elements abundance during and after the BBN, this would change the lithium-7 that we predict from lambda, from the BBN simulations, to be what is observed. And another possibility is that the observations are not giving the correct abundance, that is, the lithium-7 present in halo stars does not reflect the initial abundance, because some of the lithium-7 was destroyed through nuclear binding. Some groups have looked at this and they have found that lithium is indeed being depleted. But this seemed to be not in agreement with what is being observed, again, because in metapoor stars we expect that there will be less depletion of the lithium-7. The lithium-7 abundance is nowhere near the predicted value again. So I will be talking about a possible solution from cosmology, that is ever-present lambda. In the previous talks, we have introduced ever-present lambda, that is, dark energy is present at all times, even during the Big Bang nucleosynthesis, you did have dark energy. So this changes the expansion rate, looking at the Friedman equation that I have over there. So this picture here, or this graph here, just shows some models of ever-present lambda compared with lambda CDM. So you see that lambda CDM turns off. So at BBN, or 10 seconds to 20 minutes after the Big Bang, you don't expect to have omega lambda, but for ever-present lambda, you expect to have the presence of omega lambda. So in the next slide, this is just showing when the important time, you can say that it's a really a small window that you are supposed to be able to change the expansion rate so that you can be be effective in your prediction of lithium 7, which is about 2 × 10^2 to 3 × 10^2. So it's a really small window. So the next slide shows results. So what we did was to run an already existing code times BVN code. We used the NEFF to be equals to 3 and photon baryon ratio to be given by this way. Omega B or omega baryon is the omega baryons that I talked about yesterday, the results from Cosmo MC. So we would take the histories that were a good fit, the histories of dark energy that were a good fit to Cosmo MC or CMB data, and then we would use them with their omega B in this code to predict lithium 7. So these are the results that we had. So the best fit that we have is it has a lower chi squared than lambda CDM, but you can see that it for lithium 7, it doesn't give anything that is close to what we want. And this, the next plot or the next slide shows a plot of the histories that we, prediction from the histories that we simulated. So here you can see that if you solve the lithium 7 problem, you create a deuterium problem. So the histories that give a good prediction for lithium 7, they do not get the correct amount of deuterium. So the light blue is lambda CDM, the red is the observations, and the dark blue are the different predictions from different histories of dark energy from ever-present lambda.
So Nasipia, I guess if you just take this at face value, you have a delta chi squared of, from 60 roughly to 90, so 30. So it's like square root of 30. It's
sorry, I didn't get that.
So I think you have 5.5 sigma evidence for you just compare the R squared. So I guess I don't know why we didn't put that in evidence for. But I guess the problem is that we don't actually solve it. You just you kind of distribute the tension amongst deuterium and lithium, I suppose, right? Actually, can you see that? Do you get larger deuterium? Yeah, I guess you get larger deuterium here compared to observations in model 2. So I guess that's the catch. Okay, so carry on.
Okay, and the next plot is just looking at just lithium 7. So you can see that even though we don't solve the problem, but we're doing better than lambda CDM because we're getting a little bit close. If you take the histories that give a correct prediction for deuterium, then you can see that some of them are doing better in predicting lithium 7. But yes, it's true that we don't solve the problem. But can we move to skip the summary to the plot of the cosmological models, dark energy cosmological model.
I have a couple of them.
Yes, so you can see that for model one, it fluctuates more. So what we did was only fit for model two. So maybe if I did this again using model one, in the small space of time, where maybe the small fluctuations in model one would help give a correct prediction for lithium 7.
That's a very good point. I don't think we ever thought about that. But it's a good point, because if you go back to this plot that shows when things are happening, they happen, I mean, some of them happen very sharply. So it may be that, so at least in particular lithium and deuterium, the problem is that happen almost around the same time, but this is logger scale. So you could imagine that if something happens very quickly, maybe that would be a bigger discrepancy between deuterium. We have bigger leverage between deuterium and lithium, as opposed to the force. I mean, I'm sure we could do it with model one as well, but just maybe the free parameter that tells you how fast the planet is happening. But yeah, that's a very good point. Did you have anything else to say, or?
Summary, there was a summary.
Yeah, there was a summary somewhere.
Yes, and it's just a conclusion that we don't really solve the problem. If you do solve the problem, then you create another problem. So I think maybe more work still has to be done. Not that, maybe using model one for the fit could help.
So one question that I have for you is this value of eta, so the omega BHS square that you use here, was that a fixed value, or did you vary over that? Or I mean, I guess it's very well determined, if I remember correctly. So
each history of dark energy, because we only use the histories that were already a good fit to the CMD. So each history of dark energy will come with its own omega B. So for each history, we have a different eta.
So you took the histories that are good fit to CMD and continued it all the way. Okay, good question. Other questions for Lucipio? All right, I guess we can hang her now. This is a short talk, but I know it took a lot more work than a part of this next that I should have taken to actually get. But so, do you have any questions for Ms. Pio? So,
it's a question you had about the timing.
Yeah.
Presumably, yeah, if they're at exactly the same time, you can't.
Yeah.
Having more rapid fluctuations won't help. There is some offset. The question is, this is in temperature. Temperature is probably more relevant. What I was wondering is, what is the difference in A or in redshift between those two? It's hard to read. It's just the ratio of the it's just the ratio of the temperature. So, I can't see.
It's very little. I mean, the thing is that it's hard actually to. I can try to do something with my.
The deuterium. Wait a minute. Are they the same thing? No, look, the whole lithium. This whole thing rises over a very short period. Whereas the deuterium. I guess it's logarithmic, so it's hard to say.
The peak is almost exactly.
The peak is at the same place, but there's a big, it's much wider.
So it's hard to tell because, there's a peak, but then they both drop, and the question is which one drops faster. They look almost identical, to be honest. But again, this is.
I would look at the one on the left. Look at the It grows.
They grow. But I mean, we don't care about this. When we care about this, the final.
Why do we not care about it?
Because we don't. This is what we see. We see.
I know, but if you were to change the growth curve, that would change the height of the peak, wouldn't it?
That's an exercise.
Or is this just the equilibrium valley? I don't understand what. It's a non-equilibrium situation.
Right, but that's what we observe is the final value. Right?
I know, but
if the
lithium is being, I mean, I'm getting mixed up because of the logarithmic scale, but if this were a linear scale, if the lithium were created over a long period, the deuterium were created over a long interval of time, and the lithium over a short interval of time, even though they both peak at the same moment. Why should that make a difference?
Sorry,
Levan,
are you leaving now?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess then this is really goodbye. Hopefully then we can continue this remotely. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you,
so,
it was very interesting.
Okay.
So
coming.
We'll continue.
Okay, continue.
Okay.
Nice.
See you, Levan.
Yes.
See you.
So, let's keep it aside. Levan Pogosyan is leaving, so we're just saying goodbye. This is a very intimate audience, so.
Yeah. Goodbye, Mr. Chen.
So I think what's happening here is that you make deuterium for the reason. So you're making deuterium. What's happening at the drop here is the deuteriums are combining and making helium. And I think the same is happening with lithium because basically all these things that they're dropping. I'm not actually sure why is lithium dropping, but I'm sure that what the reason it happens is making something. And it's presumably the only thing that's going up. I mean, it should be either helium 3 or. Do you remember the recipient maybe why lithium is dropping here? I mean, I think it's something
I think deuterium feeds on lithium feeds on deuterium in some of the reactions.
But if you already made the lithium, why would it, I mean, even if the deuterium is going down, why would the lithium drop?
I mean, it kind of makes sense that it would make beryllium.
Make beryllium looks like
more like that. But beryllium then later decays back to lithium.
Oh, I see.
So it's kind of a funny thing. But that's kind of, that explains where this thing is.
Does that mean you could make more beryllium? And then if that layer decayed down, you would get more, or could you make less beryllium, say?
We want less lithium.
We want less lithium. So, but does that have a significant effect if you changed? Because the beryllium growth curve is quite a different time.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that the beryllium growth curve is actually separate from the helium growth curve. So that's an interesting point. But I think it's definitely a possibility. I think what Mr. Pierre explained that you could. I mean, this scatter that you see certainly suggests that there is no. I mean, there is no one-to-one correlation between deuterium and lithium. There is some scatter beyond lambda CDM, and if you have more fluctuations or more fine grained fluctuations, this scatter could be bigger. So I think that's certainly reasonable. So we should just do that. Gian, I have a question for you. Do you have a BBN code as well as part of Quantum C or not as separate? Like if I pick 90% this is gone.
No, I don't have.
Yeah. Because I mean I guess you have to run this simultaneously if you want. So that would be I don't think it's really that hard, but I think it's something that probably not many people do, that you want to run basically at the same time that you run CAM, you should run VPN. Right? So that's...
What redshift is the VPN in? Isn't it a very large...
Yeah.
I mean, it may be that there's an effective separation.
Yeah, but there is one parameter. Yeah, I don't think dark energy history is a care. But this eta parameter does care. eta parameter, which is the value of the photon direction. So that does care about, I mean, that's fixed by CMB basically. So,
well, you could do a preliminary thing where you just try a range of the eta parameters.
Yeah.
If you get good some, if you get promising results, then you could try it.
Yeah, but actually, the other thing is that the helium then does matter for the CMB. So there is a crosstalk between these. So the helium abundance certainly is important to CMB because it changes recombination for the recombination history. So you may get a helium abundance that's off. In fact, the best observation from helium, this most reliable one, doesn't come from CMB. It doesn't come from stars because stars are part of each other. It comes from CMB. So I think probably the right thing to do if you want to do it properly is to run VBN and camp basically simultaneously.
Yeah, that seems. But you could still do a preliminary study where you see how much the ratio of helium to lithium 7 could change.
Yeah,
it's different
parameters. Right. Okay. So, Sipi, I have a question for you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
So, this BBN code, I guess, do you have still access to that or not?
Yes, I can re-download it.
Okay. So, I think that's a suggestion that the model one, you could just run it independently of everything else. And the values of this variant to photon ratio, they are basically, I mean, fixed from CMB, or you have it from your previous, from our paper. So that doesn't change very much, the variant to photon ratio. So then you could just try running model one and model two and then compare the results. Or you're just running model one if you want and see whether you can get a bigger range. So that's that seems like an interesting, straightforward thing to do.
Okay, I'll try and do that.
So that's good. Are there questions or comments for Nasipia? Okay, so that's 406. Okay, so I think that's it for Nasipia's talk.